Hello, everybody. It's great songs, aren't they? Great Christmas, Advent, Epiphany songs. And I thought the message this morning was fantastic. It was really, really good, really encouraging. And to see all the children involved and everybody involved, I thought it was really good. So I'm just going to explain to you how this evening's going to go. I want to share a few thoughts about testimony, what that means. Then I want to say a few words about the Magi, how they meet their Messiah. And then there's going to be a short meditation. Hopefully it will work. Is it okay? Good. Great. Great stuff. And I also enjoyed the Advent sermons. I felt we had a really good lead up to Christmas. And I like that. I like to have background and lead up to these events. And also the testimonies at the carol service. I thought they were really amazing. It really touched my heart. And it was just so encouraging to see so many different people sharing and that God still is working today in our hearts and in our lives. Testimony is an inward, isn't it, in the Christian circle or in the legal department. You don't tend to hear it, I don't think, in any other way. And so when we're sharing our story, that's how I tend to put it over, you know, about what's happened to me rather than I want to tell you my testimony. And I was thinking about that word testimony. What does it mean? It means to testify about what we've seen, what we've experienced. And we can be called to be a witness in a court of law. And it's then we testify and we're called to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I don't know if you still say, so help me God. Can anybody confirm that? And then I thought about Testament, Old and New Testament. And then I thought, I need to put boundaries on this. It's already going too far. So, but again, thinking about Old and New Testament and what Testament means there, it's very, very interesting, but we're not going down that road. Right, Mary's going to come and share someone's testimony that's in their house group. I got chatting, I was determined to have a conversation with this couple about 3 weeks ago because I've not had that chance. And he told me his testimony, and it's quite amazing. Thanks, Mary.
I was not brought up in a Christian family as such, though I was sent to church until I was 16. My sister did make a commitment around that time, which I took great delight in ridiculing her for. However, sometime after, I remember taking her side in a debate with some of my friends at a party. But other than that, I was pretty uninterested in any God stuff. Then, at the time of the Bradford football fire in 1985, I was struck by the fact that someone could go to an everyday event with no danger attached and not come home. A short time after this, I had a dream in which I was sat in the kitchen having a conversation with my best man. During this conversation, I asked him if he was ready to die. I don't remember him giving an answer, but when I woke up the following morning, I had the strongest feeling that the question was directed at me. In response, I asked Heather's parents to challenge me to speak to them next time I visited Bristol. Goodness knows what they were expecting, but I did find out later that they had been faithfully praying for us both on a daily basis. Anyway, when I recounted my story, Heather's dad just simply explained the gospel message to me, and it just made so much sense that I felt the obvious thing to do was to pray a prayer of commitment there and then. So, that was 1985, How have things gone since then? Well, more often than not, I get it wrong. But because of God's unending love and patience, he continues with me. And I guess I continue to think I am a work in progress.
Thanks, Mary. Well, I thought that was amazing that God spoke to Alan in a dream. And God speaks to us in different ways. He needs to get our attention. We're all individuals, do things differently, and God speaks to us in that way. Mike at times has referred to the Engel scale. And I found that quite useful to think about that. So if you're talking with somebody, you only need to say something very, very short, very small, just put God in the conversation, and that might be all they need. And then the next time another Christian comes across them, they might add something else to that. And then you move along the scale, as it were, because it takes, is it seven times before you, when to hear about God before you actually do something about it? Is that right? Something like that, anyway. So several things happened to me, and at the time, I think you may say the same, you're oblivious that actually God is working in you until you make that decision and you come to Christ, and then you know that you can see the steps that have gone on. In the Operation Mobilisation Prayer Diary of the 31st of December, just gone, it reads, "Many Muslims come to Jesus after seeing him in a dream or a vision." Again, it's God's supernatural intervention. And Claire is going to come up now and give us the reading. As Paul said, it's Epiphany on Tuesday, and in the church calendar it's the Feast of Epiphany, the visit of the Magi to the infant Jesus. Their story, their testimony.
Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of the religious law. "Where did the prophet say the Messiah would be born?" he asked them. "In Bethlehem," they said, "for this is what the prophet wrote. O Bethlehem of Judea, you are not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for all my people of Israel." Then Herod sent a private message to the wise men, asking them to come and see him. At this meeting, he learned that the exact time of when they first saw the star. Then he told them, "Go to Bethlehem and search carefully for the child. And when you find him, come back and tell me so that I can go and worship him too." After this interview, the wise men went their way. Once again, the star appeared to them, guiding them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over a place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were filled with joy. They entered the house where the child and his mother Mary were, and they fell down before him and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasure chests and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And when it was time to leave, they went home another way, because God had warned them in a dream not to return to Herod.
Thanks, Claire. Bethlehem in Judea. The hilly green fields around Bethlehem are rich in history. Ruth gleaned in Boaz's fields. David shepherded sheep and wrote his psalms there. The city of David, it was where Samuel anointed David, king of Israel. And of course we know Jesus was born in Bethlehem as prophesied, because he was of the line of David, the tribe of Judah. And both Mary and Joseph were of the line of David. At the time of Jesus, Bethlehem was a small town, possibly 300 to 1,000 people. And John the Baptist had been born possibly 6 months in Judea earlier, about 6 months earlier, not quite sure where that was. Matthew refers to the visitors as magi. So who were they and where had they come from? I don't know about you, but once I read something and I think, oh, now what does that mean? Let's do some digging, and then off you go. It's really great, the stuff that you can come up with. An article I read many years ago about the Magi was that they were possibly the kingmakers of the East. And when they arrived, everybody knew about it. And that's the thought I want to take us down tonight. You might not agree with that, but that's the avenue I want to go down, that they were the kingmakers of the East. So they probably came from Persia, modern Iran, and were known enemies of Israel. And the Magi appear frequently in ancient history, and in Matthew's day, everyone would have known who they were, a very powerful and influential group. Such was their influence that no Eastern king or political group would be without their team of Magi. And the Magi have their say in the story of Queen Esther. If you remember, it was about the law of the Medes and Persians. And so great was the power of the Magi that no one, including the king, could change the law once the king himself had laid it down. And the Magi almost certainly must have searched the scriptures left by Daniel hundreds of years earlier. And if you remember this morning, John Fee was talking about Israelites being taken into Babylon. Sort of the cream of Israel were taken to help in Babylon. And so that's where Daniel went. And he was also, if you remember, he was also called on, wasn't he, to the king wanted to know what his dream was without telling the Magi what it was. They had to know what it was without him actually explaining it. So they couldn't do that. And then they called Daniel, and God had spoken to Daniel and could actually explain that dream. And Daniel had been the most respected of the wise men. So the Magi studied the heavens, and today we would call them astronomers. So did they come across Numbers 24:17 about a star would rise out of Jacob? They knew to be watching for something very special. So they pursued and they persevered. Then there it was, the star. A new king had been born. They knew this had world-changing significance and wanted to find him. It was a long and hazardous journey and would have taken a lot of preparation. Perhaps they met up with Magi from other lands. And their journey would have taken a considerable time, depending exactly from where they came. But the Magi head for Jerusalem. And Herod's palace, of course, that's where you would look for a new king, wouldn't you? So in Matthew 2:3, they ask, "Where is the one who has been born, King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So why would this cause Herod to be disturbed and all Jerusalem with him? King Herod, known as Herod the Great, was an Idumean. He was a Gentile. And Idumeans are descendants of the Edomites, which go back to Esau, Jacob's elder brother, sons of Isaac. He had been appointed King of the Jews as his official title by Rome. But here was a delegation from a powerful enemy empire demanding information about someone born King of the Jews. No wonder Herod was troubled. In Herod's day, there were two power blocks. The Roman Empire, which had conquered the land of Israel and put Herod on the throne, and to the east, the Parthian Empire, which comprised the Medes, the Persians, and the Babylonians. The boundary between these two empires was just north of Israel, and border fights between the two empires were common. So just try and imagine this scene as the Magi approach Jerusalem. The Roman Empire is weak. Herod knows that he's very near to death. Suddenly, a huge dust cloud appears and announces the approach of a large body of riders, and in ride the Magi, the kingmakers of the ancient Eastern world. A riot of colour, the Magi were unmistakable. They always rode horses. Their importance merited a huge bodyguard of cavalry. No wonder vulnerable Herod and the people of Jerusalem thought that these Magi were coming to appoint a king. What Herod and all Jerusalem did not know was these Magi were looking for their saviour, God's Messiah, the King of Kings. So Herod needed to think very quickly and very cunningly. He called the chief priests and teachers of the law to find out where the Christ was to be born, and they said in Bethlehem in Judea. And that's what the prophet had prophesied. The Jewish religious leaders, they were not looking for the Messiah, and they did not really want him to come and to upset their profitable operations. But they did at least know about the messianic prophecies, but they obviously hadn't seen the star. In verses 7 and 8, Herod found out secretly from the Magi the exact time the star had appeared. And when they had found the child, to let him know so that he could go and worship too. But we know that he had other plans. The Magi find the Christ child. Leaving Jerusalem, after their visit with Herod, and as they headed toward Bethlehem, 6 miles away, they suddenly saw the star again. Even though they had not been able to see it while travelling to Jerusalem, it had indeed been going before them and now appeared again. The star stopped over the house where the infant Jesus was. They were at their journey's end. They had found their Messiah. And in verse 10 it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense and myrrh. I wonder what they were thinking. They had arrived. They'd found him. What was going on in their minds and in their hearts? What a moment for them. What a moment. And what about their gifts? 3 are mentioned, but there could have been more because we don't know how many Magi actually came. Gold, frankincense and myrrh, gifts of great meaning and value. And they must have discussed and thought about what they would bring to him. Gold for a king, and frankincense for deity and priesthood, and myrrh for anointing. What did Mary and Joseph think about these very special visitors and their gifts? Did memories come flooding back when the angel Gabriel first spoke to Mary in Nazareth of the day, and also of the day Jesus was born? When the shepherds visited, and of course the angelic host. How the census brought them to Bethlehem, and they couldn't find anywhere to stay. And then their visit to the temple and meeting Simeon and Anna. And as I thought about Mary and Joseph, what had happened to them, what a traumatic time for them that must have been. And remember, they were still living in Bethlehem, and the infant Jesus would have been anything up to 2 years of age when the star stopped over their house. I wonder again, why did they stay in Bethlehem for that long? Why didn't they go back to Nazareth? And then I thought, Mary and Joseph surely would have told Jesus all about this when he was old enough to understand. The Magi, we read in verse 12, were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, but to go home another way. And I just can't imagine what their conversations were like on their journey home. What would they say? What would their story be when they got home? Would others come to know about the Messiah because of their visit when they got home to their country? And then an angel warned Joseph to take his family and leave very quickly for Egypt. And then they would become refugees. And obviously the gifts then would be very useful and would help them financially where they were. Herod wanted to get rid of any new king. He felt threatened. He was not going to be usurped. Anyone who got in his way, he destroyed. Herod the Great was a brutal man. He killed his father-in-law, several of his 10 wives, 2 of his sons, and many others. So when he realized that he'd been outwitted, he was furious, and then he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under. He was desperate to be rid of this new king. He was utterly ruthless. The Magi were prepared to travel a very long way to meet their new king, their Messiah. They prepared, they pursued, and they persevered. They did not give up. They came to bow down and to worship him. A very young child, they who were used to being honoured and revered. These very powerful and influential men bowed the knee to this young child, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God pursues us because he loves us so much. He speaks into our lives in different ways. Let us be like the Magi. Let us continue to prepare, to pursue and persevere and come to bow down and worship him, the Lord Jesus Christ, to seek him anew as we wait for his return. What can I give him, poor as I am? If I were a shepherd, I would bring a lamb. If I were a wise man, I would do my part. Yet, what can I give him? Give him my heart. And now we will have the PowerPoint.